So what I want to do today is actually take a little bit longer to practice at the beginning of this session than we usually do. These are always short sessions, but the theory in TSK is that you can move into it pretty quickly. So we'll see how that goes. So I thought we'd take about 5 minutes. And what I'd like to practice is exercise 16, time-space knowledge, on the ordinary level. So let me say just a little bit about, a little bit by way of background, just a tiny bit, and then we'll do the practice, and I'd really like to take some time to discuss it then. The starting point, and I think I mentioned this in the guidance too, the starting point is a statement on page 178, right at the beginning of the reading for this week. It's just the first sentence. When we perceive that timing presents both the self and its characteristic ignorance of timing, or let me say that differently, presents both the self and its characteristic ignorance of timing, this exercise will gradually make it clear that the self never emerges or cuts itself off from time. So that's the guiding instruction. Now he's talking about exercise 22, but we're not doing that exercise. We're going to do it with exercise 16. And let me say just one thing about that notion that time presents the self. And time also presents the ignorance. Time presents the self's ignorance of timing. And that's a very characteristic move in TSK that I think is really worth reflecting on. Again and again in different ways, Rinpoche challenges the distinction that we make between the substances, like a self, the things that we discover, and the attitudes that we take. So in this case, he's talking about the self and the self's ignorance of timing. And the point is that for time, those two things are on the same level. Or a better way to say it really is that those two things are not, there is no question of levels. Time presents a whole, and within that whole, we create or discover or set up. And by discover, I really mean first we set it up and then we discover what we've set up. So we set up a certain structure. And in that structure, there is a self, and the self has certain characteristic ways of knowing, and on the basis of that, there are certain things that are known. And it all flows together. So in Dynamics of Time and Space, Rinpoche talks about flattening space. And at a certain level, I know I personally have a kind of a resistance to that because, we're used to the idea that flattening something makes it less real, less rich, less interesting, that we lose the depth. I mean, it's a very natural corollary of what it means to flatten something. But what Rinpoche is saying there is really the same thing that he says here. He's just putting it in a very different vocabulary. Here he's saying time presents the self and the self's ignorance of time together. And that together is the same thing as the flattening. There is no someone who takes a certain perspective on time. That's all presented by time. And so that's why Rinpoche can go on in the second part of his sentence and say, the self never emerges or cuts itself off from time. It's always time that's doing the presenting. And, you know, if we were really able to experience in that mode, that would be, at the least, let's say, a second-level experience of time. Now, here we talk about levels, but you know, that's a different vocabulary for a different purpose. It would be an experience of time that did not accept the self and did not accept the self's ignorance of time as anything that has been set up, anything that is real. It would simply be the ongoing timing that manifests in that way. So that's all that I want to say in terms of setting this practice up. What I would like to do now is have us take about 5 minutes and actually practice exercise 16. And you remember that exercise 16 suggests that instead of putting the self at the center of experience, we put time and space and knowledge at the center of experience. And it says if we want to, we can think of the self as the knowing dimension and space as the appearance dimension and time as the interaction between those two. So if that's helpful, think about it that way. But our main focus, of course, is on time here. And what he says about time in the exercise, and you can look at it on page 108 of TSK if you want to, what he says about time is that it has a flickering and flashing dimension. And that actually contrasts with something that he says in the reading we have, where he talks about this tendency toward rigidity and lethargy. And we can talk about how those two connect. But just when you're working with time, flickering, which you may not experience exactly that way, flickering and flashing, the point is a certain dynamic aliveness in contrast to something that's been set up. So that's plenty of talk. Yeah, Arthur?
Which page is this exercise?
The exercise is on page 108 of the TSK book, and it's on it's exercise 16. Yes? Okay. Okay, so let's take 5 minutes. I will turn off my video and we'll do it. Let's come together. So, what did you notice in doing that practice? Now, I realize, you've been doing the practice for weeks and weeks, and I'm happy to have you talk about some other things that you've been noticing. But as a starting point, I'd like to have you focus on what what just came up in light of our discussion. Oops, somebody has their speakers
Somebody
on,
has this on,
which is
which is
causing
causing
a
a
an
and
echo.
echo.
So someone
So
just
someone just
did that. Was
did
that
that.
you,
Is that
Dan?
you, Dan?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's a good reason
That's
for
a
me
good
not to
reason
speak. So
not to
somebody
speak.
else
So
speak up.
somebody else speak. May I say something?
Yeah, you
Yeah,
may,
you
but we
may
still have this
still
same
have this
problem.
big problem.
Dan, I'm
Dan,
concerned that that's you
concerned that
because
that's
you
you
joined us.
because
Oh,
you joined
okay.
us. Oh, okay.
Are you?
Are you
Okay. Somebody's having a
somebody's
problem. Let
having
me
a
try.
try.
I think if I turn my
If I
speakers
turn my
off, it
speaker
won't work
off,
very
it
well.
won't
Let
work
me
very
see.
well.
Okay. Well. Okay, that'll be okay, but I don't think then anybody else will be recorded. So, let me turn mine
Let me
on.
turn mine on.
Okay, let's hear from
Okay, let's
somebody
hear
else
from
and
somebody else.
I'll turn mine
I'll
off for
turn
now.
mine off.
No, then I won't be able to hear,
So
that's
that I
all.
won't be able to hear.
Let's hear.
Let's
So,
hear.
Sudaba, you were going to
Hello,
say something.
Sudha.
Let's
You were
try
going to
again.
say something. Let's try again. Yes. It seems there was some sort of aliveness in my body. As if I was tuning in to some mystery that I didn't want to be left out, and I didn't want even a second to tune out. But then I would, not knowingly, tune out. A thought would come in, then I would remember you said that's even given by time, and I would come back to my faculties that, oops, I adjusted, then I would just rest at ease again. So there was an ease in this new process that you keep affirming that even the goof is given by the time. So it's a new dimension for my experience that it's all well, even the drifting.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Let me come in with a technical comment again. Dan, I turned off your microphone because you seem to be the source of the problem for some reason. I'll try turning it on again. Okay, it seems to be okay now. So, Dan, you're unmuted. So, Dan, come back to what you were saying. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. With this notion that the self is never cut off from time, and the self's way of understanding, which includes all of its thoughts and all of its diversions and digressions, none of that is ever cut off from time. So, wherever we look, or how, whenever we look, we're experiencing the dynamic of time. Somebody else want to say something?
I experience the body as being infused with time, like time was coursing through the veins and the arteries and the, all the structures and forms, being sourced by this current, feeling as though I was an embodiment of current.
Okay, good. It's interesting to tie it into embodiment, and I think in general that's a very helpful approach. And again, the reason that that's helpful, and it's a little bit different from what Sudaba was saying, is that when we're thinking, or when we go to the past or the future, and which is a kind of thinking, there's a very strong pull to fall into the content of whatever our thought or our memory or our plan is. And the content is a construct, and it's something that's already been established, and that means that the dynamic of time isn't available again. I mean, once more, we're in a situation where the dynamic is not available. So going to the body is very helpful. But to come back to the other side of it, if you can see the various thoughts and so on as more presentations of time, then there isn't an issue. It's just that there's a kind of a tendency not to want to see that. Okay, anybody else?
Sure, my voice is coming through okay.
Yes, it is. It's a little bit soft if you could turn up the volume.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this was a very different experience of this exercise for me because I've it's been one of my favorites and I've done it a lot. But this time it just was quite different with your instructions. And usually I just try to translate everything around me, body and all environment and everything into time space knowledge. This time I focused. I noticed just what seems to be kind of the center of my experience, that's kind of like the center of my agency, where I feel like I'm looking out from that sense of self in relation to the environment, and as a source of thinking and looking. And I just focused on that center of agency and tried to contact time, space, and knowledge as that center, opening it up. And so it's very interesting to feel into that. It became very dynamic because at first I was just looking at kind of the knowing sense, and then what was appearing, which was just like the sense of being a center and of acting or looking or thoughts arising. And I was seeing those tied together by time or being mutually presented by time. Linked by time. And that was different for me because usually I will look at time as my whole body, as everything, as all the activity. And this time I wasn't looking at it as all of the changes in my content, but more as the linking between the knowing and the content. And it became that, yeah, that the knowing, it seemed like time was really the center at that experience, and that knowing and the content were almost like object and glow, kind of on the either end of the current of time. So it was very, I don't know how to say it, it was very decentering. I didn't have any, definite profound ahas, but the shift in the relationship of those things was very interesting for me and seems to invite a lot more exploration.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad that's opening up or opened up in an interesting way for you. And what you say seems to me very consistent with the instructions in the exercise to consider time as that interplay that between the knowing agent or agency and what is known. So that'll be
I've probably
interesting.
been doing it wrong.
Now, that's a joke, right? Because there are no wrongs in this. Whatever we explore, whenever we ask a question in a kind of a fundamental way, we're already engaging TSK. Anybody else want to say anything about that? Okay, let me come back to a point that I mentioned just right before we did the exercise, and I think it's come out in these comments and discussions, and that is the distinction between the playful, dynamic aliveness, the flickering, what's the other word he uses, flickering and flashing quality of time, in contrast to what he describes at the bottom of page 178 as rigidity and lethargy. And he says that our usual state is one of rigidity and lethargy. So that's actually a very interesting and you could say a challenging statement because Sure, sometimes we feel rigid and lethargic, I guess, and other times we feel more dynamic. Well, maybe that's a useful measure to see how much are we engaging the aliveness of time. Or maybe Rinpoche is talking about a different level where there's still a kind of a rigidity, even when it seems like a lot is going on. Maybe we're in the middle of some activity and it's very rich for us, but it could still be the case that in every moment we're referring it back to a self, and there's a kind of a rigid way that we're encountering the experience, which means that it's not going to be as open-ended or alive, and we're always kind of harboring the concern that we could lose it, that it could end, that our appreciation and enjoyment could end. What Rinpoche says about that rigidity and lethargy is very interesting, because he explains it. sometimes, usually in TSK, I think Rinpoche is pretty careful not to explain things. That is, he doesn't want to give you a theory. But in this case, he's giving a kind of an explanation, which is also an invitation to look in a certain way. He says, the rigidity and lethargy derive from the fact that the self we ordinarily try to improve, so he's talked before about the improvement orientation. In other words, the self finds itself in a situation and it wants to make things better. It's always, things are never quite good enough, so the self always wants to make things better. So that's the improvement part. But the self that we ordinarily try to improve is a generalization of many instantaneous presentings of time. And that struck me as a very interesting idea. It's related to something, maybe I'm thinking about it because I've been teaching a fair amount of Buddhist philosophy lately. And in Buddhist philosophy, they, the teachings essentially say that experiences are changing from moment to moment, which is a point that's related, absolutely, to what we're talking about here, but it's not the same. We don't need to insist on that kind of instantaneous unfolding. I guess I don't want to get caught up in trying to compare the two. I'm just saying that perhaps for that reason, I find myself thinking about the fact that when you look at the immediacy of an experience, it's something that is given by time, let's use that language, in its immediacy. And the moment we try to label it or reflect on it or react to it in some way, or the moment we feel we have to do something about it or with it or for it or against it, the moment any of that happens, we are in effect, as the text says here, generalizing from a series of experiences. If we stayed with the experiences, each one would carry that dynamic of time, and the generalization is a kind of a conceptual move that we make, a labeling move. And that labeling move, that is the self. So that's another way of coming back to this idea of saying it is the self, it's not separate from time. That is, the labeling is also an activity. It also has that same aliveness in it. But if we go to the result of the labeling and say that's what's going on, then we've generalized from a series of experiences. So what that suggests is that we really want to be able to if we're working with the dynamic of time, we really want to be able to connect with it in every moment, each instant. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to think of time as unfolding in a point, point, point way. But the dynamic, that's one way in which it may show up. And so that leads me to the last thing I want to discuss a little today, this this whole treatment of the zigzag diagram, that's what people usually call it, on pages 179 through 181, or even a little beyond that, I guess. There's a couple of really important points about that, I think. One is that Rinpoche says that when we start with a practice like the zigzag diagram, where we're trying to find moments between moments, right? Or he's also referring back to the series of exercises that we didn't do, but that, of course, you're welcome to do. When we start with that, he says, it's really just our imagination. We aren't necessarily contacting the dynamic of time. We're just kind of pretending. But even the pretending is already an opening. You know, the possibility that it's there is a real possibility. And then he describes, the way in which that possibility could become more real, in terms of the zigzag diagram, in terms of having many more experiences. You know, here's point A and here's point B, and in between them you have these extra experiences, which are X's, and then in between each X you can find a Y, and in between each Y, you can find a series of Y's, and so on. And that's what the zigzag diagram is about. But the main point I want to make about this is that it's not as though this has to be our experience of time. And one of the reasons that it doesn't have to unfold in the way that the zigzag diagram is being presented is that's still very connected to a linear view of time, which goes from moment to moment to moment to moment. And that's one reason why I just brought in the idea of what Buddhist teachings say, that becomes a big issue. But the usual way in Buddhism is to accept that linear view, moment to moment to moment. And I think the TSK vision says that it may unfold that way, but it doesn't have to be the case. So on page 180, I don't know if I can find it right away, but Rinpoche says, what we discover is the possibility that there's more available in time, there's more to enjoy, and we can embrace more of it, right? But that's only one possibility. In other words, holding to the momentary structure, the point, point, point vision of time, and then finding points within points, it's a great practice. And actually, in Dimensions of Thought, that two-volume set of readings that was published back in 1980, there's an interview with Rinpoche, a long interview at the beginning of Volume 1, and he gives that as a very specific practice. It's basically the zigzag diagram, but he makes it a very specific practice. Find more moments within moments. And I think maybe in Love of Knowledge, too. So it's very good practice. But what he says here, and that it's worth keeping in mind, is he says, this is in the first full paragraph on page 180, he says, as we travel along from X to X, and maybe we find the Y's in between the X's, we may remember how we, the self, that is, are given as being located in a point. So, in other words, we may become aware of the point, point, point linear structure of time. And he says, then, and this is the sentence I wanted to emphasize, we are time and can embrace more of it, even if we have to do so by forcing it into a zigzag series character, rather than holding aloof from it. And that's really just the only point, or the final point, I guess, that I wanted to make, is that finding more time by finding more moments in between moments is a very useful thing, but there is more to the more of time than that. There is a fullness to to the aliveness of time, or these are just words. There's an aliveness to the fullness of time that doesn't necessarily confine itself to a zigzag structure of finding more points of time. The dynamic of time may come up in a very different way. And that's why Rinpoche, or at least it's related to why Rinpoche on page 181 talks about the possibility of coming upon the original sequence. Here you are, you're finding more and more moments within time, and then it turns out that you come back to the original moments of time. And at that point, he says, the whole notion of linearity is not right. And so at the end of page 181, he says, what eventually emerges from such encounters is the insight that there is not a surface, a timeline that is actual, or one that we are on exclusively. Not only might there be many such lines, but the notion of discrete lines is itself wrong. So the possibilities are vast, and we can continue to explore them. So you may want to look at, if you have it, at the way that exercise is described in Dimensions, Dimensions of Mind. But you could also just kind of use the zigzag diagram as a way of looking into it, and do so with the idea, if you do that practice, that this is not the final word. This is, in fact, making a lot of concessions to our usual first-person view of time. So that's it. Next week, we're going to skip a few pages, basically skipping some exercises. The reading starts at page 193. And then we have one more week after that, in which we will, 193 is a new chapter, I believe. And then and we'll finish that chapter, and that will be the close of our course, this session. But then we'll go on, of course, in January.